Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, the sell-off that started here in Asia continues out in Europe, with the Stock 600 actually falling by more than 1% today. And this, again, on the belief that tensions between Russia and Ukraine have indeed escalated. And markets are scrambling to assess what a potential escalation into military conflict, should it not be avoided, actually mean for markets across the world. And some may even argue that European markets may be more vulnerable to these, given their geographical proximity to both Russia and Ukraine. Today on Money FM 89.3, we are pleased to get a closer look at what this might actually mean for markets out west. We are pleased to be joined by Mr. Peter Lundgren, who's the founder of Lundgren's Capital. He joins us all the way from Copenhagen, Denmark, to get us a better idea of what this will mean for European markets and markets across the world. Mr. Lundgren, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. Welcome back to the show, sir. I hope that things are at least a little bit calmer out in Copenhagen, despite all of these developments.
Yeah, thank you for being on board. And things are, of course, tense, so to say, in Europe. Everybody's eyes are on Ukraine and Russia and sort of the next steps that will be taken.
Indeed. So, you are a couple of time zones closer to both Ukraine and Russia out in Denmark. And some may argue that European markets might be more vulnerable to this ongoing standoff between these two central countries, given your geographical proximity and also how important these commodity flows are towards the Eurozone. Is this indeed the case, though, Peter? How closely are investors like you monitoring what's going on between Moscow and Kiev right now?
There's no doubt this is number one on the agenda, and just to relativize, say there's nothing number two. So of course it's on everybody's minds, and on all investors are simply watching any news coming out from Ukraine, but also in particular we're waiting for Joe Biden on the Capitol Hill to say something after the first movements overnight. So we are very, very alert on what will come now from Capitol Hill in Washington, any signs of sanctions or whatever.
All right. And of course, there are questions as to what this will mean in terms of a potential retaliation and how each side might respond as we move down what might be a closely watched chess match. But we want to talk about where this is actually showing up. And when we think about Russia, we think about their central role in commodity markets. Russia, if they face a bevy of potential sanctions, we're also talking about sanctions on an important provider of many key commodities, from aluminum to oil to nickel, natural gas, of course, very important to Europe also, given Russia is a key player and supplier of many of these commodities. Peter, there's so much to really track. Which one might see the most shock should things turn for the worse? And of course, we're hoping things don't turn for the worse, but if it does, which of these commodities that Russia is a key player in actually prove to be more shocked or vulnerable to a possible military action in that region?
I pay most attention to the effect on the energy prices in Europe. There's no doubt that this increases the risk of having prolonged the situation with high energy prices, in particular the gas prices. This will again result in a longer period with high inflation, which is of course bad for the equity market, particularly in Europe, and will also increase the pressure on the ECB. They are now, by many investors in Europe, expected to hike maybe two times in the second half of this year. But if energy prices continue to be squeezed upwards, this just increases the pressure on ECB so much. So they might could be forced to move even earlier, and that again is of course negative for the stock markets.
That's interesting. I do want to talk about how the ECB actually might move there. But I have noticed that currently we've seen gas futures in Amsterdam and London also jump about 5% higher. Not surprising given some of these tensions. The EU hasn't shied away from warning Moscow of possible sanctions, Peter. But as we've seen over the recent winter, Europe depends quite a lot on Russian natural gas for their energy needs. In fact, the Russian energy minister recently telling a publication today that they don't think Europe can wean itself from dependence on Russian natural gas. What type of threats, both economic and market-wise, does this pose for Europe if the situation exacerbates and Moscow decides to retaliate by, by crimping some of the supplies to Europe of this very important natural gas?
Yeah, so there's no doubt that the toughest concern is what I would call the gas shortage. It can be compensated by shipping in gas from as an overseas, particular from the U.S., but it is a concern, and that is my toughest concern. That is actually the gas deliveries from Russia that could be suspended or even reduced even more. And again, it's all about energy prices, inflation. It will take like 2 to 3 months before the spring in Europe is sort of so dominant that our energy consumption will be reduced significantly. So there will be a sort of 2 to 3 months where things could be pretty critical. But it is, of course, not only the gas shortage. If we should look into threats economically, Germany will take a burden. They have also announced they will be very tough on the sanctions. I think it could harm sectors like the German machinery exports in particular, if we should look into just something else than energy.
Mm-hmm. We're still speaking to Peter Lundgren, the founder of Lundgren's Capital here on Money FM 89.3, talking about the implications of the Russia-Ukraine tensions on European markets and markets in general. Peter, you talked about the ECB. Should we start to see energy prices and inflation rise in Europe, perhaps forced to hike earlier than expected to head off the potential increase in inflationary pressures? But because inflation might actually be pushed up by higher energy prices because of the potential retaliation from Moscow, will rate hikes actually go anywhere, be effective in quelling possible inflation, given it will be driven by these potential shortages?
Well, it's a absolute, it's a brilliant question. And the thing is that the European Central Bank is way behind in hiking the rates. So it's more a question about how much they want to be behind, and that's sort of a big concern I've had for actually a pretty long time, and I think that is a concern that will spread among investors or economists that it is obvious the ECB should have acted earlier, and now they're just sort of getting even more behind the curve, and that is maybe also a discussion. Yeah.
All right. If the ECB is behind the curve, Peter, do you think there's also a risk that they might get too aggressive in perhaps trying to catch up with the curve? And could that also provide potential financial shocks? I mean, how important is it for the ECB to get this right, to hike at a manageable fashion? Or do you think they just have to press on the gas pedal and try to catch up by any means necessary at this point?
Yeah, one could say it. So in the bond market in Europe, investors have already reacted. So the long-term rates have actually gone up pretty much. That is, of course, in reaction on the high inflation. It's also an expectation about ECB hiking and maybe pretty harsh, actually. But we have known for years that when ECB will start to hike, it will be a very unpleasant journey because they have been the interest rates have been way too low. So we know it will be a rock the boat experience for a period. And again, it means we won't have a great time as it goes on, and it will maybe sort of take 12 months before they are sort of back in at a level where you could say, okay, now it starts to be a bit more back to normal, yeah.
All right. You know, one sector that might actually like the idea of rising rates at a faster than expected clip might be European lenders. As we know, everybody from banks here in Singapore to Europe and even Wall Street, they're hoping that net interest margins improve because of these rising interest rates. However, in recent days, the ECB has also cautioned European lenders to prepare for potential cyber attacks from what they say are hackers coming from Russia that could actually hit some of these lenders in coming days as a potential form of retaliation even. Net-net, how does this actually color your outlook now for European banks? Are you wary about these potential uncertainties from possible cyber attacks, or do you think that this expectation of rising rates, if it does happen earlier than expected, will will actually be a boost that will wipe away any of these concerns for Europe's embattled lenders?
Yeah, sure. I agree that rate hikes should help the balance as the results of the European banks. It should be positive. Well, I also think it's part priced in already, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be positive for European banks. About the cyber attacks, I've noted that the ECB warned against it, and I could imagine that there could be a truckload of Russian cyber attacks. I trust the European banks in terms of the IT systems are extremely safe. I doubt that the cyber attack could hit the banks severely, but we are aware of what will go on, and we, of course, also really interesting to observe if something happens. But I trust European banks; they have their IT safety completely under control.
All right, and finally, Peter, I'm pretty sure that a lot of your investors and clients are asking you about some of this continued uncertainty, and this is the question I ask many fund managers and seasoned investors like yourself in times of this uncertainty also. How are you positioning yourself to weather the current volatility, and what advice are you giving investors and maybe some of your clients to protect themselves against these current risks?
Yeah, it's always difficult to escape the storm when the storm is there, and now we are there. I know it's not sort of to do any sort of backseat trading or whatever, but since very long we have avoided Russia as an investment destination at all. And actually also since years we have advised to reduce and underweight the exposure on Europe. This is, of course, nothing to do with sort of an idea about a Russia-Ukrainian tension. This is more the general view on sort of general slow economy in Europe, and that will continue so. So we are already underweighted Europe, actually prefer to overweight emerging markets. But we do actually spend the time to try to say, okay, this is still a good time to move away from just the normal assets sinking and spend even more time on what we call green impact companies. This is the most rising asset class I could point at. Like we are currently looking at a company that can produce energy at a CO2 negative effect. So it means the more energy they produce, oil and hydrogen, the more CO2 they take out of the atmosphere. And we see a growing number of these green impact companies that simply change the whole process of a production chain instead of just one component. And this is really interesting. And we can only sort of encourage people to look into this growing asset class, one we're looking at now. They will pay out a dividend of 20% if people invest into them, and that's really interesting. And this is the first sort of the commercial viable companies we see in green impact. And this is, of course, non-listed. So what we are doing more and more is to increase our non-listed exposure to non-listed companies.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best advice because it's where we think the best value is, actually.
Okay, Peter Lundgren, founder of Lundgren Capital, thank you so much for joining us from all the way from Copenhagen here on Money FM 89.3. I wish you continued safety and good health during these times, and we hope for a good resolution at least, to the ongoing conflict and tensions between Russia and Ukraine. All the best, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, sir.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.